2 weeks ago, we had the exaltation of the Holy Cross, which bumped the Sunday. And the only unfortunate part about that is it bumped the readings, and the reading for 2 weeks ago, in ordinary time, year C, is one of the most famous parables that's ever been told by the Lord, and that's the prodigal son, or as Pope Benedict called it, the parable of the merciful father. And the reason I think it's unfortunate we missed that is because in a real way, these two parables, the one we heard today, which isn't quite a parable, versus the prodigal son, are in stark contrast to each other. As you might remember from your knowledge of the parable of the prodigal son, the one son demands his inheritance and goes off and squanders the whole thing. And then it says he came to his senses. And he decides he's going to go back home. But he's not going back as a son. On his own will, he says he knows he's done something terrible. And all he wants to do is go back and be a slave. And his father will have none of it. And the great line, "This my son who was dead is now alive. He was lost and now he's been found." And then we have what we listen to today. The rich man doesn't even get a name. He's called Divus, which is rich man in Latin. But Lazarus has a name. And just from a natural way of thinking, it should be the absolute opposite. Nobody should remember who Lazarus is. He was the poor man who was covered in sores that no one paid attention to. But the rich man was important. Anytime you hear in the scriptures somebody was wearing purple garments and fine linen, that even if they don't say anything else, that means that person was rich, was important. But if you think back to the prodigal son and that boy, that young man saying, "You know, he came to his senses and he realized what he had done." In this, the rich man never does. In fact, he does know Lazarus' name, even though he ignored him for as long as he was at his door. And he still expects Lazarus to be serving him. "Father Abraham, send Lazarus to dip his hand in the water so that my tongue can be cooled in these flames. Father Abraham, send him to my brothers so that they repent and don't end up in hell." There's never a recognition that he did anything wrong. And that's the danger when we get removed from sin. Pope John Paul II, I think it was in the 1980s, wrote a document on sin. And he said, he was lamenting the loss of the use of the confessional. And he said, "The less you go to confession and the less you recognize your sins, the more you don't think you sin. And then you don't repent. And the goods of this world can be something that we put so much attention to that that's what consumes us, just like it did the rich man. And that also dulls our senses, especially our spiritual sense, whereby we want to do God's will and we want to follow Jesus Christ. And if that gets dulled, then we don't. And the last line is so striking. "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." Now that would be such a rebuke for all of the Jews who heard this. How much more Christians? We don't just have Moses and the prophets. We have the eternal Son of God made man, who gave us the gospel, who gave us his church to guide us infallibly in the ways of faith and morals. We will not be able to stand before the judgment seat of God and say, "I didn't know." St. Thomas is very harsh on this matter. He says there's almost no invincible ignorance when it has to do with the commandments. We can't say, "I'm sorry, Jesus, I didn't know pick a commandment was a sin." And that's why, in a certain way, Father and I, in our prayers, we pray the breviary, and for the last 2 weeks, the focus has been on bad shepherds. St. Augustine wrote a treatise on bad shepherds, and it's accompanied by Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is who starts. 2 weeks ago today, it was Ezekiel, and Ezekiel said, heard from God, "If they sin and you don't tell them it's a sin, then they will pay for it, and so will you. But if you tell them and they don't turn away, they will pay for their sin, but you will not." And from the time I've read that when I was in the seminary to this very day, if you ever wonder why I will say things that are hard, it's because of that. It's my duty. I do not want to go to hell, period. But I am not going to go to hell because I didn't preach the truth. And God would hold me accountable for not preaching the truth. But that also applies to each and every one of us as a baptized follower of Christ. He is kind and merciful. He wants to forgive our sins, and he wants us to live in a certain way, and he gives the grace to make all of that possible. But the one thing he won't do is force you to do it. One of the things I like to advise people about is when it comes to the faith, it is good to ask questions. St. Thomas Aquinas wrote volumes and volumes because he asked questions and then sought the answer. But what is not good is to approach with a spirit of skepticism. To think, as the starting point, the faith must be wrong or the teaching on morals must be wrong. That would be a terrible way to start when you're trying to open your heart to accept everything that God teaches in his Catholic Church. And we do have to accept everything. There's a temptation in our modern world that we can pick and choose. Well, I believe that, but I don't believe that. And St. Thomas, when he writes about the virtue of faith, he says, the minute you say you don't believe in something that the church teaches, you no longer have the gift of faith. All you have are opinions. Faith is from God, and opinions are from me. And so we have to approach the Lord in a spirit of humility. And in this story of Lazarus and the rich man, you see the humility of Lazarus. And the next hardest line in the whole of this gospel, at least according to me, is, you had good things in your life and Lazarus did not. And now Lazarus enjoys the goodness of heaven. It doesn't say heaven. But now Lazarus is here and you are not. And it's not just because the rich man had stuff. It's because the rich man did not follow the teachings of Moses and the prophets. And the same would happen to us if we do not follow the teachings of Jesus Christ and his Catholic Church. And sometimes that takes an act of humility. That the Holy Spirit, who guides the church, knows more than I do. That the great saints and doctors of our church that put so much time and prayer and study to help us understand the faith, they know more than I do. And so instead of saying, I don't believe that, I might say, I don't understand that. Come, Holy Spirit, help me to understand this teaching. And even then, if it's still difficult, then get down on your knees and say to the Holy Spirit, come into my heart and convict me of the truth. Help me to turn away from my sins. Help me to turn away from the things that I'm attached to that are not you. Because they had Moses and the prophets, but we have Jesus Christ. And as St. Paul told St. Timothy, Jesus Christ came so that we could have his grace, that we could already live the reality of heaven on earth because we have grace in our souls and that we can follow him all the way to heaven. And all this is possible, not just for a couple people, but St. Paul says in a different place, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. And I come back to that phrase quite regularly because so can you and so can I. We can do all things in him who strengthens us, including believe everything that the church teaches and live as followers of Christ and reap the reward that comes with living in accord with grace, which is glory.